We continue while learning Li Nishmas Tavia Ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov Nepichus Tilei. We're in Sota Pereches Mishnah Aleph. We're going to discuss Melchama, war. And one of the things, by way of introduction, is we need to know the difference between Melchames Mitzvah and Melchames Harishus. Melchames Mitzvah, like the Melchama that in the days of Yeshua, when they captured the land of Israel against the seven nations, a Melchama against Amalek is Melchames Mitzvah, Melchama against any enemy that comes to conquer the, destroy the Jewish people, conquer the land of Israel, to destroy the land of Israel. That's a Melchames Mitzvah. And there's Melchames Harishus, where you have a king, let's say, who wants to fight against the other enemies. He wants to expand the borders of the land of Israel, or grow in his greatness and its prominence. So either way, the Mishnah here is teaching us that there was a Kohen that was designated to speak to the people at, before they went into battle, at the border first. He addressed the troops, and then again right before they enter the battle. The Pasuk says, Ki seitzela melchama alo ivecha v'ra'isa sus varechav am ravim cha. You see their horses, their chariots, and it's a large nation. Lo si ramahem, don't be afraid. Ki Hashem lokecha imecha hamalchom eretz Mitzrayim, v'yokikorachem el melchama v'nigash ha-kohen v'diber alam. And the Chachamim Darshan in Sota Membeis, yochol kohen shayir. So maybe this could be any kohen who's nigash and speaks to the people. So no, because the Pasuk also says that the shotrim are going to speak as well, v'darashu ha-shotrim. And just like shotrim, the officer is ma shotrim b'memunim, just like shotrim, more specifically appointed and designated, af kohen b'memunah. So to this special kohen, he had to be designated. Couldn't be just a random kohen. Uma shoter sheish memune al gabav. And just like a shoter has people who are above him, af kohen yesh sheish memune al gabav has to be someone who's above him, which of course is the kohen gadol who's above him. So this is someone who's designated, but he's one notch below the kohen gadol. And what would they do is, when he was appointed, they would smear him with the shemen, anoint him with the shemen ha-mishcha, and therefore he was called the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So the Mishnah says like this, Meshuach Melchama b'shashim edaber la'am, when he would speak to the people, B'lashon HaKodesh Eimadaber. That's why this is here in Sota. He would speak in Hebrew. Now, why do I know he would speak in Hebrew? Because we learn in Gzeres Shavah. Here it says, V'diber el ha'am. And when it comes to Moshe at Har Sinai, it says Moshe Yidaber. Just like over there, Moshe obviously said the Aseres Hadibros in Hebrew. So too, the Kohen Meshuach Melchama was speaking in Hebrew. And the Mishnah says, B'lash HaKadosh Shneamar, Medaber Shneamar, V'hayoki Karovchem, El HaMelchama, V'nigash HaKohen, Ze Kohen Meshuach Melchama. That's the Kohen specifically. Someone, Meshuach Melchama, someone who has someone above him, which of course is the Kohen Gadol. V'diber Elohim, B'loshon HaKodesh. Okay, so what did he say? V'amar Aleihem, Shema Yisrael, Atem Krevim Hayom Hayom LaMelchama Aloi V'chem. You now are going to fight. You're drawing near in battle to your enemies. V'lo Alacheichem. Don't think this is not a civil war where you're fighting against your brothers. Lo Yehuda Al Shimon, V'lo Shimon Al Binyamin, Shen Tiplu V'yadam Yiracham Ulachem. So where in that case, if you fall into their hands, they'll have some Rachmanis on you. And the Mishnah is actually speaking of a specific situation. Kamash and Amar, this is a Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chavches, where as it says, Vayakumu Ha'anashim Hashem Nikavu V'Shemos, and the men who were mentioned by name, they rose up, Vayachaziku V'Shivya, and they took captives. We'll discuss what happened in a moment. V'chomaru Mehem, El Bishu Min Hashalal, and all those who were naked, they dressed them. Ayal Bishu Mayanilum, gave them clothing, gave them shoes. Ayachilum Ayashkum, they gave them food and gave them to drink. Vayusuchum, and they smeared them, anointed them with oil. Vayinahalum Bachamorim, and they transported them on donkeys. The Chokoshel, everyone who was weak. Vayiviyum Yirecho, Yiratamurim, they brought to Yirecho. Yiratamurim, Eitzel Achechem, Achechem, Vayushuvu Shomron, and they returned to Shomron. So this is speaking about where it was. It was the Achaz HaRasha, who was the king of Yehuda at that time, and it was against Pekach ben Remalyo, Melech Yisrael. What happened was Yehuda had suffered defeat at the hands of Yisrael. As we know for many, many years, the kingdom was split, and 120,000 soldiers from Yehuda were killed in one day, and 200,000 women and children were taken captive. So Odeid, who was a Navi at that time, he came to give Musar and said, spoke to Malchus Yisrael in such a case. and saying, listen, first of all, look at all the Jews that you slaughtered, your own brethren, and you took captives, and you took slaves, 200,000. So therefore, they decided that based on Odeh the Navi, they returned the captives, but not only that, they went beyond that. They gave food and clothing, as we said in the Pesukim, and even olive oil for their bodies, for maybe wounds that they had. And then they transported them back if it was difficult for them to walk. That's what it says. Whoever was weak and couldn't walk. And then they brought them back to Yericho and to their brothers, and they eventually returned to Shomron. So they don't think that that's going to happen when you fight your enemies or you're fighting non-Jews. They're not going to have that kind of compassion at all. Then the Mishnah continues, these are your enemies. Very close to home. If you fall to them, so they're not going to have any rachmanis on you. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Al yirach levavchem al tiru val tachbezu." And therefore, you should not have a soft heart. And you should not fear, and you should become terrified, as this is part of the Kohen speech. Ali Rach Levavchem, we're going to explain each one of these phrases. What does that refer to? What does it mean, don't let your heart become faint? The Bnei Tzahalas Susim, because of the neighing of the horses, v'tiktsuach haravos, and the flashing of the swords, which of course was done by the enemy, to instill fear in the people who they were attacking. Al Tiru, don't be afraid, mifnei ha-gofas trisim, v'shif'as Ha-Kal Gassin, that's the clanging of the shields, and we're seeing Kal Gassin as just the multitude of the soldiers. So that's Al Tiru. Al Tach Pezu, that's another, don't become terrified. That's Mikol Kronos, because of the blowing of the shofros. That also was to instill fear in the people. And then the pasuk says, "Ki Hashem Elokechem." Al Ta'artzu, and one more: don't become broken, mipnei kol tzvachos, because of the shouts of the shouting. Meaning that's the blasting of the not only the trumpets but the cries of the enemies as well that are there to frighten you. Ki Hashem Elokechem Ha'alech Imachem. Hashem is with you. They come with the victory of flesh and blood. But you come with the victory of Hashem. What was the end of Goliath? So Goliath and his people were, the Plishtim were, they fell, and he fell along with them. Bnei Amon. Another story. Bo benitzchono shel shovach. No yosofa. What was the end of shovach and the Amonim? La sof nafa bacher v'naflu imo. This was during the days of David HaMelech when Ammon brought Aram along with them. They were defeated in the beginning in one battle, but Aram then brought the entire army, and Shovach was the general to attack David, but with Hashem's help, David was able to defeat them. This is in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud. And he was able to kill Shovach as well. So that's another example that we're giving over here. And just one point in terms of being afraid. So this is not, according to the Rambam, this is not just a part of a pump-up speech. According to the Rambam, there's really an Isser, the Rambam writes. There's an actual prohibition for a person. Hilchos Malachim Perek Zion is a prohibition for a person, for a soldier to allow himself to be afraid. That's going, obviously, not only going to ruin the morale of the soldiers, but this is considered an actual prohibition. And that's part of the Musar that the Kohen Mashur Melchama is giving. So that was the end of Shovach Meir Sofo, La Sof Nafal Bacherv Naflu Imo, and they fell as well. So Goliath fell and from Plishtim, and Shovach fell from Ammon. And then the Mishnah says, V'atem Yatem Kein, but for you it's not so. Ki Hashem Elokechem Ha'olech Imachem Lilachem Lachem Negomer, and Ze Machane Ha'aron, that refers to the Machane Aron, the camp that has the Aron in its midst. So that is your protection. When Bnei Yisrael went out to battle, they were accompanied by the Aron, which had the original luchos, which Moshe had broken, and that was with them, and they remained in their camp, and that was the symbol that Hashem was with them in their midst. There is some discussion, a debate in the Tosefta and Softa and Perek Zion regarding what the pasuk means. What is exactly with you? So Behuda ben Lakish believes there were two Aronos. One that came to war with them, and another one that remained in the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't normally take that Aron out of the Beis HaMikdash. But there is another opinion that says there's only one, no, it's not quoted anyway, we read the Ben Lakish, there's one opinion, that's an anonymous opinion. Now, no, there's only one, there was only one Aron. And Tosus in Erev and Adaf Samach Gimel note that the Aron was rarely removed from the Beis HaMikdash, even in time of war. And therefore, how do we understand that there was only one Aron, and yet the Mishnah here says, Zeh Machaneh HaAron? So maybe really they did not take the Aron out when they had all of these battles, and it must be based on the Yerushalmi that the pasuk is not referring to the Aron at all. Hashem is with you. Hashem lekechem halechim alchem. That's a reference to the tzit that the Kohen Gadol is wearing on his forehead, and that's considered Hashem's presence because it said Kodesh LaHashem. Obviously, our Mishnah holds that if the Aron accompanied the soldiers, it must be that there were two Aronos. One had had a sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, and the second Luchos that he received, the second ones. And that was rare that they took that out. That remained inside. What was taken out, it was the other Aron that had the luchos, the broken luchos. That's what accompanied them when they went out to fight. Problem is that we usually assume all Tanam hold in Bava Basra and Daf Yudalad that both the luchos, the broken luchos, and the unbroken luchos were together in the same Aron. So it sounds like there was one Aron that had both. So it's somewhat difficult to reconcile with this Mishnah. Okay, Perekhas Mishnah Beis. Vidibru HaShoterim El HaMlemor. So this is a continuation. We spoke about the Kohen Moshiach Melchama speaking. These are the Shoterim who were speaking to the people. And they said like this, Mi Ha'ish Asher Banavayis Chadash V'lo Chanacho Yelech V'yashuv L'Bei. So anyone who's built a new house and hasn't dedicated it, so this is a person who should go home. And Echa, the Mishnah says, this is not only a person who actually built a house. This is a reference to even Habone, Echad Habone Beis HaTeven, even if it is someone who's building a barn, Beis HaBakar, a stable, Beis HaYitzim, a woodshed, Beis HaTzaros, or a storehouse, all are included. And not only that, Echad Habone, not only if you build, but Echad HaLokech, even if you buy one, Echad HaYorish, if you inherit one, Echad HaNish Shenitan Lo Matana, if it hasn't been dedicated. So this is a person who is supposed to return home and take care of these things. Now, you'll say a barn, a stable, woodshed, storehouse are not used for living. Those aren't living quarters. Nonetheless, people could potentially use them, and therefore they're considered houses. That's why we normally put in many of these things, we put a mezuzah there. In fact, when we speak about a house, it has to be something that is, according to one opinion, at least 16 square amos. Where do we get 16 square amos? We assume that the minimum size of a house, of a bayis, let's say for Hilchos Mezuzah, is 4x4 amos. So some believe it has to be 4x4 amos square, at least. And others say, no, it's 4x4 amos in either way, any configuration, meaning even 16 square amos, some Rishonim would say that's acceptable. And the same thing would be true here. And the Mishnah said, Echad Habone, Echad Alokeach, person who acquires a house in any one of these ways, they'll say, it's not new. Nonetheless, that's considered something new for him, and therefore it's going to have this exemption to return home. And then the Mishnah says, Umi Ho'ish Asher Natal Kerem Velo Chilolo. Here's someone who planted a vineyard, but did not, what's Chilolo? Chilolo is where it's redeemed. So a person who plants a vineyard, the first 3 years had a Zidin of Arlo, he can't get off from the grapes at all. In the fourth year, it's Kerem Revai, and you bring the fruits to Yushalayim, or you redeem them on coins and bring the coins to Yushalayim. But either way, that is, and spend the money there, just like you would do for Maaser Sheni. After that Pidyon, so then those Peros are able to be eaten wherever they are, as long as you redeem them. And the Pasuk here is saying, if you have Kerem Revai and you didn't redeem them, so you have to come back and redeem them, and you return from battle. And this applies, Echad Hanotea Kerem, Echad Hanotea Chamisho. This is not only a vineyard, but anyone who planted even five ilanei machal, five fruit trees, a minimum of five fruit trees, that would be sufficient. Some say it has to be five fruit trees which are situated for the where it's set up and arranged just like a vineyard, where you have let's say four like in a square, and then one as a tail. And others say no, five trees minimally. Either way, would have the same halacha. And if you didn't do the net haravai, let's say, so you would return as well. Even if it's five different types of trees, different fruits, you would return. And this would be true, echad hanotea, what if you planted the tree, ve'echad hamavrich, whether you layer the tree, that's where, from ur barecha, from ur dni, you bend it down into the ground, and then it grows something new. That's also considered planting a new tree. And if there's a dinam kerem ravai, you return from the battlefield to redeem it, to redeem the fruit of the net haravai, ve'echad hamarkiv, and that would be true if you graft to another tree. Same thing, that's also considered notea. It's true when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos as well. That's considered a me'ein malacha achas, a reflection of the same malacha, av malacha of zorea, of notea. And it's true, same thing when it came to the house, same thing when it comes to the tree. Even if you buy a vineyard, if you inherit it, even if it's given to you as a gift. And then comes the other case, the last case, person who betrothed a woman, he had kiddushin. Echad, he also returns and didn't have an opportunity to marry her. Echad ha'ma'ares, says ha'basula, echad ha'ma'ares, says ha'almana, makes dovitz if she's a basula or an almana. So that means she fell to him for Yibum. She's waiting for him to perform Yibum. That applies, and he would come back as well to perform Yibum. If he finds out his brother passed away in battle, and now his wife, of course, is a kukah for Yibum to him, he comes back to marry his Yavama. Kol Elu Shomin Divrei Kohen Me'erche Milchama v'chozrin. All of these people, they hear the words of the Kohen making this announcement, and they return from the battle, but it's not like they don't do anything. Mishnah says, umisapkin maim umazon umisaknes adrachim. Well, they do. They're exempt from serving in battle. But still have to contribute to the war effort by supplying food and water. Umisaknes adrachim, and they also have to repair the roads that are needed for the army to move around.